On what might be called somewhat of a Presbyterian holiday. Did you know that we had those? Not really. Today we're celebrating Reformation Sunday. This happens every year at the last Sunday in October. Presbyterians and all those in the Reformed tradition remember it the day on which Luther went to the door of his parish and nailed in 95 critiques of the church, and what started as a small spark fanned into a much larger flame. And through a few twists and turns in the story, we end up worshiping in a Reformed Presbyterian church in Spirit Lake, Iowa this morning. So whether you've been a Presbyterian your entire life, or you are like me, who came from a more eccentric side of the Christian family tree, this day we will think about the Reformation, some ideas that have been central to it, not just theology to memorize, but some deep wisdom, ways of being Christian in the world. So with that in mind, let's turn to today's scripture lesson. You'll find it in your Bibles in the book of Mark, chapter 10. We will begin reading in verse 46, and we'll read all the way through 52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Would you pray with me? Great loving God, this day we come to this place of worship. We open our hearts and our minds as best as we know how. But in these frail human words, we desperately seek to hear a word from you. So by the power of your Spirit, speak that each of us might hear. We pray this in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. So our scripture passage for today starts just a few miles away from Jerusalem. You might imagine that you're with your family. Maybe it's Memorial Day or Labor Day. You've packed everybody up. You're in the car. You've made the trip. You're one city away from where you need to be, and then you hear those words from the back seat. It's the little one who's known they need to go to the bathroom for 30 minutes, and they say, "I need to go to the bathroom now." So what do? Of course, you find whatever place you can stop at, however good it might be, you don't care, you just stop so that you can handle the situation. And if you can imagine this, you're getting pretty close to the story that we just read this morning. Jesus and his disciples have been on a long journey. They're surrounded by a huge crowd of people. They're on their way to Jerusalem. It's a bit of a first century traffic jam. And, you know, it's been a long trip. The disciples have run out of fruit snacks. They're tired. And at this point, they want to buckle down, get to Jerusalem. And then there comes what seems to be an inconvenience, the greatest inconvenience to everyone except Jesus. So in the midst of that inconvenience, we find the first Reformation emphasis for this morning, and that is sin. See, we encounter this blind man. His name is Bartimaeus. He sits by the side of the road, right by the last exit from the city. And you might want to know that this is approaching Passover. Everyone's coming to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. As they make their way to Passover, People are in high spirits. This is the best time of year if you're going to be a beggar. People are optimistic. They're enjoying the season. They're looking forward to the celebration. And they're typically more generous at this time. So Bartimaeus is probably thinking to himself, I might be able to eat something a little bit better tonight. I might have my own kind of celebration in the midst of this. But then he hears someone's voice. We don't know how he knows it's Jesus, but he knows. He knows it's Jesus. So he cries out. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Take pity on me. Be concerned for me. See, in the ancient world, sickness was often connected to the people's idea of sinfulness. It wouldn't have been uncommon for the people to walk by this man and think the reason, or at least a reason, why he was blind was because he had sinned. Or maybe his family or sinned. Maybe someone in his life had done something and he was getting his just deserts. Of course, the gospel writer Mark knew this preconception, and he used it to great effect in this passage. Because not only would most of the people who walked by Bartimaeus have thought that, so would have Mark's readers thought that. One scholar points out that it's very interesting that this story is told at this juncture in the story. In like a two-act play, this is the end of the first act. Jesus is entering the next act, the final act, the climax. And so this story concludes everything before it and introduces everything to come. Because you see, up to this point in the story, Bartimaeus is not the only blind one. The disciples have been with Jesus step by step, day by day, and they do not see who Jesus is, not in its fullness. They're walking beside the Son of God, and yet they don't yet know that's who he is. The crowd is walking along. Jesus is thronged by people, and yet when this man calls out to him, when he calls out for help, the people merely put him down. They rebuke him. They don't see Jesus for who he is either. See, this is essentially what the Reformed tradition says about sin. Sin is all pervasive. All of us are blinded by it. The temptations of sin are unique to each of us, maybe for you. It's an unwillingness to give up your own plans for yourself as you cling to wealth or comfort or addiction to make you happy. Or maybe you are more like the crowd and you put decency and order before people. John Calvin, the father of the Reformed tradition, once said, "It frequently happens that the greater part of those who profess the name of Christ, Christians, instead of inviting us to Christ, rather hinder or delay our approach." Maybe you so desperately want things to go perfectly or to have others think highly of you that you silence them as they seek to call out to Christ. See, sin is not just a mistake. It's not something we just do occasionally. Sin is a blinder. It changes how you think about yourself. It changes what you think matters in life. And it always blinds you to the identity of Jesus Christ. So like our text for today, Reformed Christians have historically wanted to start with sin. Not because we're masochists and we like talking about sin, but because we believe that's the first and proper step to understanding God's rescue plan. Jesus rebukes the crowd. Hears Bartimaeus' call. And he stops. Over the hustle and bustle, the feet, the people pushing by to get to Jerusalem, to get around this inconvenient roadblock, Jesus asks the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus asks, "Let me see again." Jesus responds, "Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. If Reformed Christians start with sin, our journey always leads us to faith next. Faith was the thing that enabled Bartimaeus to cry out, even when the crowd rebuked him, "Be quiet." It was the reason he believed that this teacher that he had heard of could heal him. If it is universally true that we are all tainted by sin, then it is equally true that the only sure medicine for that sin is faith. Faith is both belief and it is action. Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was more than just a teacher. He believed he had the power to heal. But he not only believed, he cried out. He pushed back against the crowd. He put action behind his convictions. Friends, this is faith. Faith is believing in Jesus Christ and trusting him with your actions. Our forebears in the Reformation insisted that this order was absolutely essential. In other words, they said you shouldn't switch it around. You don't get through works to grace. No, we don't ask new members in our congregation to present their congregation with their spiritual resume. Perfectionists, despite their best attempts, cannot outperform the Son of God. You can't pay the down payment for your salvation. It's already been paid. Jesus Christ is here. He is in our midst. All you have to do is believe, have faith, and call his name. Have you ever noticed that faith is easier to talk about than to do? Maybe you've noticed that it can feel easier to be a Christian for 1 hour every week when we sit in these pews and we think of it together. But your life is where faith is lived. With your spouse, in front of your children or your grandchildren, in your place of work, it is the thing that you do when others are looking, and even more when people are not looking. Faith is both believing and doing, and it is thoroughly and unequivocally a gift from God. So up to this point, we've encountered these two things, sin and faith. And this leaves another emphasis that has been very central to the Reformed tradition, and that is the understanding of the community of Christ. I don't know if you know this. As I lived with this text this week, there was one sentence, one line in particular, that I could not shake. It came back to me over and over and over again. It's at the very end. After Jesus heals Bartimaeus, he tells him to go and think for just a minute. You've been healed. You can see. And Jesus says, go. Where do you go? Is it to be with family to share the great good news? Is it like another time when Jesus called and said, go to your priest. Go share the good news to the people of God? Maybe. Maybe you think, I'm going to the first party I can find. Go. And where does he go? It says he regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Now, I've got to confess to you that this isn't good textual criticism. In other words, my seminary professors wouldn't appreciate me making this connection. But I can't shake that the early Christians called themselves the way. You see, it's astounding because this is the same crowd of people that moments ago rebuked him, who tried to keep him from the one who healed him. And this man never appears again in the book of Mark. When he goes on the way, he joins the crowd and becomes part of the very people that had rebuked him. See, I can't imagine a better example of the community of believers in the Reformed tradition than this. There's no distinction between the people who followed Jesus every day and every night and the man who asked to be healed and who Jesus said, go. There is no spiritual ladder of greatness. There is no pastor who is a greater disciple than you. Our church leaders only lead because they serve. There is no spiritual pedigree. We are all sinners. We are all saved by grace, and thereby there is no distinction among us in Christ. Paul once told the early church, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And another church father said, "The church is merely a hospital for sinners." Friends, we are all sinners. This is our hospital. There are many people in this crowd. Many people making their way to Jerusalem. Some of them are recently healed blind men. Others have been rescued from pride and gossip and greed and self-righteousness and the lusts of the flesh. Some think that their life is going pretty well, and some here desperately wish, desperately hope that Jesus would respond and say, "Your faith has made you well." But whoever you are and whatever your story is, at the center, Jesus Christ is in the crowd. The text says that he followed him on the way. And the church is only the way because of Jesus. It is the way because he is on the road with us. And so herein is the deepest, the most important, the most lasting emphasis of the Reformed tradition, and it is Jesus. Sin blinds us to him, faith binds us to him, and the community of the way bears us with him. Jesus is the Son of God who walked on this very earth, who healed the sick and blessed the cursed. There is no trial or difficulty too large for his love to break through. There is no aspiration of yours that is too great for him to be part of your life. Even in the midst of the crowd, he hears your voice. And when he does, he stops. He listens. He beckons. He says, "Come to me." Friends, all else will pass away. Nothing will remain except the Son of God, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. There is nothing better that we can give than Jesus Christ. Jesus? Jesus. Like blind Bartimaeus and our Reformed forebears, might we see once again that we are all sinners, that we are saved by grace through faith, and in Christ you are called to be a partner on the way. But above all, let us see the one who matters most, the one who stands in the middle of the crowd, who waits, who listens, who leads. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Amen.